Gee, Vargas Falchuk, good evening, Clark, come and look, Class Gael, and a shock than a show to me, Tom Comack, with you as usual. Well, not with you as usual, because we've got a special programme for you tonight. It's Ulster final weekend, and it's Donegal versus Monaghan for the third year in succession, going head to head in St. Shernock's Park in Clonus on Sunday afternoon. And, well, we've got a busy programme lined up for you between now and 9:30. And, well, I'm joined in studio by Maureen O'Donnell, and I'm also joined on the telephone line from our studios in Dunloe by Adrian Sweeney. John Hearn is on his way. He hasn't just arrived yet. And well, later in the programme as well, coming up, we'll be talking, going to Monaghan to hear from three-time All-Star Monaghan defender and forward Eugene Udy Hughes. And we'll also be getting the thoughts of former Donegal player Martin Carney, of course, who also highly involved with Mayo. And of course, they're in Connacht Championship action on Sunday against Sligo as well. And Martin, of course, will be looking ahead to that game and also giving his thoughts on his own Donegal against Monaghan in that Ulster Senior Football Championship clash. And we'll also be joined by our good friend Wishy Fogarty from Radio Kerry. And of course, it's that Munster final replay between Cork and Kerry down in Pearse Stadium in, or sorry, Fitzgerald Stadium in Killarney again on Sunday afternoon. We'll be joined by Wishy as well. So a busy programme lined up for you. And of course, as always, if you want to join us or if you want to text in or have any comment or ask any question of our panel, 086-086-77-00-555 is the text number, and we'd only be too delighted to hear from you. I can tell you John Hearn is here as well, of course, a former Donegal player, and I now believe goat farmer as well. Joe Kelly has informed me, but we might talk about that a little bit later. The goats must have broken out this evening, John.
Tom, don't believe everything Joe Kelly tells you. Might be a small bit of truth in it, but for another day.
And to Maureen O'Donnell, very good night to you as well.
Good night, Tom.
And Adrian Sweeney, as I said, joining us. Adrian, good night to you.
Good night, Tom. Good night, John. Good night, Maureen.
Well, as I said, looking forward to the Ulster final. I suppose we'll start with you, Maureen. You've played a number of finals yourself, dating back over the years. I know not in men's finals, but in ladies' finals.
Yeah, Tom, we'll not go back as far as we're that now. I mean, you'd be showing me age, but yeah, I've been in a lot of finals over the years now, so I kind of know what is ahead of the boys now, and someday, big day for them, Tom, and, you know, hoping that they can get another Ulster final under their belt. I suppose it takes a lot of hard work and graft to get this far, and Ulster finals are only dreams of, you know, some young lads. It's great to see them in another Ulster.
And between club and county, how many Ulster finals would you have played in, say, at adult level, never mind the senior, the underage, because I know you probably have been in a host of them at underage.
You're talking maybe anything between 7 and 10 Ulster finals, you know.
Yeah, and of course you are an All-Ireland winner as well, both with club and with county.
That's right.
Yeah, still celebrating that senior club championship success for a few years. Adrian Sweeney, last few years, have you ever thought, wouldn't it have been great if I'd been born a few years later? Has that struck, thought ever struck?
Definitely, Tom. You know, since when you look back over this last 3 or 4 years, I mean, that team has been very, very successful. And as Maureen says, it's down to hard work and graft. I suppose, looking back since Jim took over the reins at under-21 level and introduced those under-21s and the likes of Michael Murphy and Leo McLoone and these guys came through, the team has gone from strength to strength in the last couple of years, and they've been very consistent. I mean, over the last 3 or 4 years, you know, they've been thereabouts at the top table, as I say, and you know, been very, very consistent. And yeah, definitely I wish I was there, but unfortunately it's not to be yet, but I wish them all the best on Sunday.
Yeah. And tell me, just as a matter of interest, how many finals did you play in?
I think from offhand it was 6, Tom. Now, we were never successful. We were kind of the nearly team of the noughties or whatever, you know, and our man Tyrone were very strong in that period, as we know, in fairness, it took Jim coming in to break that stronghold in Ulster, and between Donegal and Sunday's opponents, Monaghan, they have been probably the two most consistent teams in Ulster in the last 3 or 4 years.
And as you said, always the nearly team. Which was the most painful?
Possibly the first one, maybe against Derry, where it was a late Brawley goal that sunk us that day, you know, and we probably played, we didn't play overly well on the day, and we're still leading and right up to the last couple of minutes, and Unfortunately, the only memory I have from that game is Joel kissing whatever into the crowd and afterwards, you know. So it's that one was hard to take, you know. But some of them we
which
we
was more how difficult to take, Joel kissing the crowd or
the probably the defeat. But that's me only just memory from that day, really, you know. And it's that's one of those things, you know. It's as a player, you probably think that you're going to play in a lot of Ulster finals, but you know. As opposed to the likes of the older players in that squad now, the likes of the Colm Anthonys and Neil Gallers, and then they realise, especially the likes of Colm, and then who's been about there this last 10 or 12 years, realises that, you know, that he came through the rough patches as well, and now he's getting the benefits of having won a couple of Ulster championships, and it's very evident, and even in the way they're playing, the confidence, and then the enthusiasm that they have now, and you know, they feel that they're in with a shout in any day they go out.
Yeah, and John Hearn, I know you were nodding there in agreement. 98, I suppose.
No, well, just going back to 98, I would have been a sub on that team, or as a man said, a non-talking sub, because they could only have 24 at that stage. But, you know, just when Eddie's speaking there, I remember Eddie was having a great game, I think, at centre-half forward that day, and Henry Downey, and he's only a young fella, you know. And if I'm correct, Eddie, I think Declan might have taken you off towards the end, and I think for James McHugh, maybe, and a lot of people would say that there was a turning point in the game. Derry started to come into that last 10, 15 minutes, and, you know, listen, it's one of them things, but Eddie was having a stormer that day, and he was only a young fella, you know, and definitely I remember that day, and a lot of people would say it was, you know, if Eddie had stayed on, we might have got over the line, but listen, that's the way it goes. But, you know, it was a painful one on 98, all right, I remember.
Yeah, and it's just to come back to you there, John, as well, it's the big one, you know, when we look back, and even this team here, the breakthrough they made in 2011, and Ulster, and how important it was, it was a catalyst for them to move on to bigger and better things, you know, and possibly at that time, you know, Armagh were coming in 98, and Derry were thereabouts, but had we got a victory under our belts that time, you never know what would have happened down the line, you know. But it's all about winning, and winning exudes confidence when in a panel, and as we've seen back from 2011, Donegal have gone from strength to strength since that.
It's amazing, like, you know, most of the team lining out on Sunday actually are appearing in their sixth Ulster final. I think it's Colm McFadden, Paul Durkin and Carl Lacey are actually lining out in their seventh finals. But, you know, when you take it that Adrian, you lined out in six finals and lost in every one of them, and the guys so far have won three out of what, four, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it, and that's the way. I mean, I suppose going back to my time, we went out and it was kind of, we had no plan in place, and John would probably recall the same thing. And most of our days we went out, we had no real plan in place, and it was a case of going out and playing your hearts out and leaving it at that, you know. And now the way that the Donegal are set up and Jim would have to be recognised for the foundations that he has put in there for Donegal in the last 3 or 4 years. It's down to the hard work and the hours of diligence and preparing a team and the strategies that he's used. That Donegal, no matter which day they go out now, they're very competitive and extremely hard to beat.
And John, back to you, John Hearn again. John, how many finals were you involved in?
Tom, wasn't as many as Eddie. I was on and off the squad a couple of times there.
Yeah.
That 0-3 final against Armagh. Yeah. No, not the 0-4 final against Armagh and Croke Park, and, you know, some of that early one in 98, and the 0-1 one against Armagh too when they beat us, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, what's your earliest memories? Was it, were your earliest memories of Ulster, of provincial finals? Was it Connacht finals or Ulster?
A very strange one, Tom. In 83, we were brought to the match, but we didn't actually get the match. We were left with, my younger brother and Cian were left with friends of my father's in Cavan, and Daddy and Eamon and the rest of them went on to the match in Clonus. So I wasn't even at the 83 final, but I was at the 83 All-Ireland semi-final, and, you know, that was one of the clearest memories I ever have, Tom, is going up the steps of the Hogan Stand and seeing Croke Park for the first time for the 83 semi-final. You know, just magical as a young
fella. What age were you then?
About 7 or 8, you know.
Yeah.
So that was it.
Yeah.
But then we had all the mighty days, Tom and Clonus, when they went from, you know, 89 to 93 when we were, you know.
That was five,
you
know, in a row.
That was five in a row.
Actually six when you take in.
Was, yeah, and all them memories of going to Clonus and the checkpoints and Achnacloy and the long tailbacks
and the heat,
the hot days. For every time you went to Clonus, it was a scorcher and sunburn. And just, there were great memories as young fellas growing up and seeing that Donegal team and, you know, winning them couple of Ulsters in 90 and then 92. And, you know, just great as young fellas growing up. And, you know, and like, now we went through that barn spell where we won nothing, and now we're back again with, you know, this team. And that's why I think, you know, people should support them when they're there, because we might be there for another 20 years. We just don't know. And listen, if you're thinking about going to the match, go and support them, because they're a great crowd of boys and they're giving us great, you know, great last few years, and, you know, great pride for the county, so fair play to them.
And in turn, you would have played a few Connacht for Colleges finals and stuff like that. And
that's right, when the time in Jarrett's, you know, down there in Galway and that, you know, so, you know, that time I would have played with Joyce and Donlan and the Meehan and that, you know, coming through, and then 94 Hogan Cup team, and then them boys went on to win an All-Ireland 4 years later, 98, and then 2001, you know, so... Yeah, it was nice to beat them that time in Castlebar, Tom. And
that was another famous day.
That was a great day to beat them Galway boys, because, you know, they were looked down on Donegal football, you know, down through the years. And in LA, I remember we used to play them in challenge games. And I remember they were quite arrogant, you know, and I would have known them, but that's supposed Donegal weren't.
You had a bit of a swagger, always.
Oh, a bit of a swagger, the Galway boys. So it was nice to beat them that time down in Castlebar.
But that day is gone, I think.
Oh, it is. Oh, absolutely. Donegal, they're up there now. Everyone's, we're in the top three. And everyone's talking about Donegal, and you know, it's great, Tom. It's brilliant.
Thought I'd guess the question, Clara, coming to Luke Traskill, a shock than a show to meet Tom Cormack. I'm joined here in the studio by Maureen O'Donnell, John Harn, and by Adrian Sweeney, live on the phone from Dunloe. And well, coming up, we'll be joined shortly by three time Monaghan All Star Nuala Hughes. And later on the programme as well, we'll be going to Castlebar, where we'll be linking up with Martin Carney, of course, an Ulster Championship medal winner with Donegal in 74. And I'm not sure, you know, he wasn't there in 83. And of course, as well, we will actually be joined by Weishi Fogarty of Radio Kerry, of course, played in a number of months of finals as well. And in actual fact, John, you may not realise this, but that 83 All Ireland semi final, Weishi Fogarty was the referee. So we'll talk to him about that as well. That's all coming up. Of course, we've got an extended programme tonight. We're running until 9 o'clock because, of course, Donegal and Monaghan are playing in an Ulster Senior Football Championship final. Fifth in a row for Donegal, third in a row for Monaghan. And that's a change as well, isn't it, John? A change of the guard, really, when you see it. It's Donegal and Monaghan dominating.
Absolutely, Tom. You know, there's Tyrone there and Armagh. They dominated all them noughties and played off the final after off the final. And now for Donegal and Monaghan to play three in a row, you know, it probably is some sort of a record. It's bound to be. It's never happened before. So it's good for the two counties.
Yeah, there's something like, I think, 90 years. I think 1923 was the last time Monaghan played in the third three finals in a row. So that goes to show you. So obviously the football is changing.
Football is changing, and you know, you hear Martin McHugh on about it, but it has to be said, Monaghan was such a small population, you know, fourth smallest in the country. You know, fair play to them, they're getting their act together. But listen, Monaghan always had a proud tradition and tough footballers, and you'll have Nudie coming up, no better man, down through the years. And, you know, they have a proud tradition, so you have to hand it to them. They're doing very well.
Maureen O'Donnell, in terms of your own memories of, say, Donegal senior teams, and your first probably memories of, I know you don't date back to 1983 and John Harn's first and been left with friends in Cavan, but what are your first memories of Clonus and of an Ulster final?
I suppose it's night back to as far as 92. Tom, when I think it was Derry on that day that Donegal defeated, and of course they went on that year to win the All-Ireland final, a brilliant year. John talked about you know, growing up in those days and football being good, but that was a highlight year for Donegal. That coincided, I suppose, with myself. I was 13 years old and I played in my first Ulster final at under 16 level, and that day we played in Monaghan, and it ran very tight. They were, I suppose, our big rivals at the time as well. Went down to, I think there was a point left, and I asked the referee how long's left in the game, and we were a point down, and he said this is the last kick of the game. So thankfully for myself, you know, I got my nerves under control and I got the ball over the bar. So we went back then, we replayed Monaghan then a week later, and we beat them. So it was, I suppose, a great year of football for me.
Year. Was that before or after the 92 Ultra Final?
That was, I think, before the Ulster final, and then we got defeated on the way, I think, to Galway then, in the All-Ireland run-up. But it was tight, and Gaelic football was very, very competitive at that time as well. And, you know, I suppose football, as I say, John says football changed a lot over the years. It has changed now over the years. Like, you used to just go out and play your game and play for fun. Nowadays you go out and you're playing to strategies, and it's a lot more difficult, and you have to be a lot more committed. That's how football has changed in the last 10, 12 years. It's unbelievable.
Who were your heroes on the 92 team? You can admit it now.
Well, I suppose Anthony Molloy there, and Manus Geller in the back line. Matt Geller in the back line, which was his brother, had us there in 2002.
That's Rocky.
And then I suppose up front, Tony Boyle, and even my own club man, Tommy Ryan, you know, he had an influential part to play in it.
So. Any of them influence you as a forward, or did you watch them in particular other than girl watching boy?
Well, there was a bit of that going on too, but no, to be honest, Tony Boyle was one of my favourites, you know. He was an all-round great forward, and I loved to watch him play back in the day, you know. And I remember all the boys came to Termin after the All-Ireland, and I got a jersey signed by every one of them, you know, and it was a memorable occasion, you know, for me. So, you
know, still have the jersey?
Oh, I do, surely, aye.
Yeah. Where is it, on the wall in the bedroom?
I have that money jersey now to put on the wall
in a minute. Tata, yes, the Clisson Clark, coming with Luke Clascale, and a shock to the show with Maureen O'Donnell and John Harn, and myself in studio, Adrian Sweeney on the phone from Dunloan. And did I just say, I'm joined by our very good friend, Eugene Nudie, who is from Monaghan. A very good night to you, Eugene.
Good evening, Todd.
And, well, I'm sure there's a good mood in Monaghan, but before we talk about that first, we're talking to John here and to Adrian and to Maureen, and I'm not sure if you heard the earlier part of the programme, but Adrian Sweeney on the line actually played in 6 Ulster finals and hasn't an Ulster medal. I suppose that puts in context the achievement of the current Donegal squad. How many finals did you play in yourself?
Well, Adrian's just one of those unfortunate players. It's like numerous players that never won a championship medal, never mind an Ulster championship medal. I've been very fortunate to play in 6 Ulster finals in total with the club and county, and won 5. St Joseph's beat us in Donegal Amalgamation underneath Brian McAniff in 75, beat us in the club final. But at the same time, you know, to represent your county and get to the finals, it shows there's a mark of progress. But it's not nice to play in 6 and not to have walk away with a medal when some players just come up in the first year and achieve the ultimate status, which we need in the Anglo-Sal Cup, you know.
Yeah. And how many did you win with Monaghan?
3.
Yeah. Oh, well,
three and won 3.
So what years were they all?
79, 85 and 88.
Right. And what a draw in 85. Was it with Kerry? Was as close as you came?
As close as we came to it. And unfortunately, it's a game, as Maureen just said there now, but it's a lot more committed on strategy and tactically now. You have to be believe now. I'd say 90% of all Gaelic football now is the belief as well. 10% is skill, because you play to a strategy and your job is to get the ball from A to B, which is usually around 15 metres or 20 metres maximum. There's no more 45 metre kicks unless some team comes up with 6'4" guys that can win their own ball, and that does not seem to be happening.
Anyway, tell me, what's the mood in Monaghan this week?
Oh, well, I'm just going with the bookies. We're just going down to fulfil the fixture. And look at that Donegal team after what they've done against Armagh. I think at the end of the day, we just look at things and say the Derry game was they didn't play overly well, Donegal, but their capabilities are very high. And Monaghan will go down and they'll appear in the final, but the record speaks for itself, and I know the Donegal people will be very cautious and listen to me, but we don't fear Donegal, make no mistake about it. And
I know that from speaking to you before, actually, ahead of the 2013, wasn't it? 2013 final, in actual fact, because Donegal were raging hot favourites that day too, if I recall.
They were original up favourites, but it's like any given thing, Tom, and Adrian has hit it there now. It's, you go out, you prepare to the best of your ability. You have to perform on that day, on that given time when the referee blows the whistle. It doesn't happen before it. You have to believe that when you go out. When that whistle is blowing, you have to perform at your best, and that's it. And no one else can do that. You have to win your own battle and trust your teammates to do theirs. And I think it's the hallmarks of a great game this weekend. I don't think it'll be a high-scoring game. I think, as my friend in Highland, I told him last weekend, I think we'll win by minimum 2 anyhow.
Yeah.
But I'm expecting us just to share it.
Yeah, and it's a low-scoring game. Are you expecting it to be a...
Well, I give 115-111. I think a 116-111 in Mullen's favour. But I think it'll normally be 114-112. The more you study the thing, but like you look at the league, the National League's fixtures from last year, you had Michael Murphy top in the top 3, Paddy McBurty in top five. So 3 and 5 was Donegal. Conor McManus was lying 4. So, you know, you have exceptional talented forwards in both camps. Donegal might have more of a spread of natural scores. Monument do rely on a lot of free kicks, and Conor McManus in his performance. Kieran Finley coming in. Kieran Cuse now has ignited his pace now and his ability to score. So I think there's a good balance in the Donegal camp. Monaghan would need to be at their best to handle them, but Monaghan can just pull these games out. They're more likely to frustrate Donegal and hit them on the counter attack, and that's the ploy that has worked for us in the past, and I've no doubt it'll be the same ploy that'll work this Sunday coming.
Very impressive, very impressive against for Armagh, the Athletic Grounds. I suppose that result has been put in somewhat context, I suppose, given what happened to Armagh last weekend in the Athletic Grounds, beaten by Galway. But they didn't certainly have their own way, and I know Brian McIver and Derry still feel they possibly could have got a result in the semi-final. But you had it more difficult your first day against Cavan, and, you know, had to pull out all the stops and, shall we say, go to the well very late on.
We went to the well, we could have went to the well a lot quicker, and we could have been left in the Sahara Desert just equally as quick had Cavan had taken their scores. And remember, it was more individuals taking the game to Monaghan that lost it for Cavan rather than Monaghan winning it. Cavan done enough to probably shade it, but Monaghan were more acute. The subs, Malachy O'Rourke substitutions worked very extremely well, and players took their responsibility. As in the semi-final, it was the exact same thing. It was only in the last 12 minutes when sending off changed the run of the game, and Fermanagh, as we know, came back very well. But like the thing of it is, both teams didn't exceed themselves in the semi-finals. Donegal were catapulted in the top three of the championship favourites after the performance they gave against Armagh, and rightly so. But the thing about it is, Galway are a naturally fluent football team, and they can do that to teams, go out and outmanoeuvre them, and Armagh don't have that talent to counteract them. So it's brought the game back into a balance. Are Donegal that good? Donegal are a good team, there's no question. Are they any better than Monaghan? I don't think so. I think both teams are well balanced. I'd fear if any team is going to lift the Samoa outside of the Dublin Kerry, it would be Donegal. Monaghan just need that wee bit of fortuitous luck on the day, and I honestly believe the team believes in themselves. And like, both performances in the semi-final would have a lot to desire, but that's why that's what makes the Gaelic football interesting, because, you know, it's yours on the day and that's it.
And tell me any word of a team.
All we don't need, our team will 1-15, that's all I know, Tom.
and they probably won't line out even that way.
Oh, yeah, you know something, we do formed up and all to come back, but no, I tell you, Tom, the frustrating thing from a spectator's point of view is this. You're given a team, and sometimes it's not the same team that's lined out, and I think that's unfortunate. There are injuries in both camps. We have players that might participate in the game, but they'll not be too far off. Our starting 15 in the semi-final won't be too far off the mark, and I think there may be one change. And
who's that likely to be?
Truthfully, Owen Lennon's performed very well. Kerry could be just undoubtful. The physical strength of this Donegal team might change the setup in the half forward line. The rest of the team will sit tight. That's the belief we have.
John Harn has a question here for you, Eugene.
Good evening, Nudie.
John, how are you?
Not too bad. Nudie, just watching Monaghan this year, is it a new? Well, it obviously is a new strategy. What's your thoughts on it? Leaving Dick Clerkin on the line, leaving Finlay on the line and Gallagher, and bringing them on with 20 minutes to go. It seems to be a good strategy. He's finishing strong with good subs. I think it's something that Donegal might be lacking in this year.
Well, I think the balance of the team, I think Donegal is very strong from 1 to 17. I think Monaghan is strong from 1 to 21. And the way you're looking at it is, we would have had a lot of retirements had we been in the section of the draw that you had been on. But when the players seen the draw that we had, a lot of players stayed on. Dick Clerkin has been a revolution coming on in half-time. Paul Finney, similar. Owen Lennon has made an introduction. Stephen Gallagher. Those players are seasoned campaigners, and when things are breaking down around them and young players are looking for leaders, those players seem to come on at the right time. And Malachy has it geared very well structurally. If they're only good for 20 minutes, aren't you better with that 20 minutes, fully maximised in the last? It'd be like a bolt of lightning, and that's what the team needs. And Dick has come on, and he's performed extremely well. Golligi has gets in, win the breaking ball, the dirty ball around the middle, and delivers good telling passes the inside forward line. And that's where Monaghan had won the games when it needed to be won. And that's what sent Monaghan into this final. The tactical switches and bringing on the players at the right time. But they're seasoned campaigners. They know exactly what they have to do. And remember, John, this is the third final. And something that we have never achieved it. Even though we've sometimes people say we had a better team. On the day, these players have performed. And they're there now in the third final in 3 years. Donegal have done it. Armagh have done it. Tyrone have done it. But for Monaghan, it's a unique situation to be in. And one thing they'll multiply in.
And tell me, finally, before we let you go, what's the situation with Drew Wiley? I know there's a lot of speculation up here that he could be ready. What's the feeling in Monaghan?
Oh, he's out for the count, Tom. Now, I know you're very anxious to know about Drew, as I am. But Drew Wiley, the injury wasn't as severe as it was previous. But at the same time, an injury is an injury. And we've seen the work rate that Colin Welsh had to do in the semi-final. He was very ring-rusty against the Cavan game. And that made an awful difference here. We got through that with him playing right through. But I think now the fact that Drew has been missing a while, he could participate somewhere, but at the same time, you're better with a player 100% fit going in against Donegal. And we only know too well the dangers of Donegal. And you can't afford to have a man 30% off the mark. But we will go down with the team we have, and hopefully we'll walk in a day. And the confidence is very high in the morning camp. And I expect a very close call, but I still maintain we'll do it.
Look at Nudy, thank you for joining us tonight, and we'll see you on Sunday. Nudy Hughes there, three times All-Star, and both as a defender and as a forward. I think one of them as a defender, two as a forward. I think Paddy Moriarty of Maramaz is probably the only other player that ever...
And Anthony McGurk from Derry.
Anthony McGurk from Derry as well. Tanto Gaisa Clesson Clark, come on, Luke Clasgale, and a shock than a show. Let me meet Tom Colmack. I'm joined here in studio by John Hearn, who you heard there a moment ago, and by Maureen O'Donnell. We're also joined by Adrian Sweeney on the phone from Dunloe, and you just heard Eugene Udy Hughes. We're coming up to the news at 9 o'clock here on Highland Radio, but don't worry, if you're interested in the verdict of John Hearn, Maureen O'Donnell, Adrian Sweeney, we'll have more after the news, because we'll be returning again after the news here at 9 o'clock. And of course, coming up in the next segment of the programme, we'll be going to Castlebar. We'll be joined by former Donegal and Mayo star Martin Carney, and by our very good friend, legendary broadcaster, referee, All-Ireland sub goalkeeper Wishy Fogarty as well. He'll be joining us, and they of course will be looking forward to both their Connacht final, that's Sligo, which of course John Hearn will have quite an interest in that one as well. His dad Seamus will have divided loyalties on Sunday. Indeed, of course, Sligo in a Connacht final for the first time in a number of years. Mayo there again as well. Mayo highly fancied in that one. And of course, it's Cork and Kerry again back in Fitzgerald Stadium in Killarney for that Munster replay. And that was possibly the game of the championship so far. We'll be talking to Martin and to Wishy on those games. And obviously, we'll be getting their thoughts on Donegal versus Monaghan as well in that senior championship final. And remember, of course, as well, we have the Ulster Minor final, but now we go to our colleagues in Dublin for the news at 9 o'clock. But don't go away, we'll be back shortly after this.